God's truth that is going to be given to us tonight. And so open up your hearts and open up your minds, open up yourself to God and His word for each and every one of you. God has something for you if you will let Him in. Brother, why don't you come and share with us God's truth?
Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Really, verses 16 to 25 is the passage. We will not read all of that at this point, but I want you to notice something from verse 16. Notice now, when I begin to read, I will not read all of it, but we'll read some of it. Verse 16. No, I'm sorry. Not, yeah, that's right. I'm just, let me turn. Okay. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Now notice, capital S. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now notice verse 22 particularly. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I'm sorry I didn't tell you the truth. I told you we wouldn't read the whole passage, and we just did. And so hope you'll forgive me for doing that. In a moment we'll pray. What does it mean to you, in your thinking, personally, in the innermost part of your being, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? The Spirit of the Lord God. But the Spirit is also God. And is God, and the Father is God, and there are three persons but one God. So what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? There's not a one of us in this room who lives a day without sin. Not one. And what we do, sometimes hidden, God knows about. The Spirit of God knows about. Now, let me just, before we pray, let me make this statement. If you have a wounded spirit because of something that is unsettled and should be settled, your life will be crippled when it comes to serving God. Did you hear me? Fact. Your life will be crippled when it comes to serving God if you have a wounded spirit. And the longer your spirit is wounded because of that which should be settled and it is not, the longer that that takes place, it has a way of magnetizing other things. And as you walk down low the pathway of the Christian life, walk down the road, you are pulling behind you the steady collection of other things that attach themselves to your wounded spirit. And that's why some Christians threaten to take their lives. And that's why some Christians can't get along with others. And that's why some believers get older and they think they've learned enough that they don't have anything else to learn. And that's why some believers can continue to move in a direction that dishonors the Lord, and then they finally and eventually get to the place where they defend it. They don't want you correcting them. Now we'll pray. Father, thank you. What a wonderful God. Wonderful Father, wonderful Savior, wonderful Teacher. Wonderful book, wonderful word, wonderful way. Please help us. Father, we've listened to music that was wonderful, beautiful. And the instruments that were just now strummed and played. Thank you. May we in our hearts tonight, personally, individually, each one, may we be sure that we do not carry a wounded spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The great way of success, Galatians 5, the great way of success. We'll once again look at verse 16. Notice now what he says in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. To determine to walk this day in the Spirit, to accomplish my daily tasks in the influence and obedience to the Spirit, to meet inevitable temptations and duties that I have and disappointments that come, and to face it all with love. Because I'm walking in the Spirit and under the Spirit's guidance and direction, with His help and by His power, I move and I make my decisions and I turn this way and I turn that way and I say this to this one and say this to that one, and I treat others with honor and respect in spite of the fact that they may not be themselves respectful. And this walk like this knocks the flesh in the head. Did you get that? You see, the flesh here in this passage, it means all the evil impulses and the examples which the Apostle Paul names. And the body is the body is the instrument of many evil passions. But the flesh indicates the whole being as influenced by wrong affections and all the tendencies and the appetites and the dispositions that lead to wrong conduct. So I can be fully occupied with activities which are approved by the Spirit, and that's the determination and that's the desire of my heart. I want to be controlled in such a manner that I obey the slightest, could I say this without being disrespectful, the slightest whim of the Spirit. When I first became aware of the girl that I married, it was in a camp south of Denver in a place called Jar Canyon. And it was a big tabernacle and had a sawdust trail. Old wooden benches. And the place was packed. And I came in, and my dad was the cook for the camp. And I came in and I sat down near the rear of the auditorium because the service had just begun. And so when I sat down toward the back of the auditorium, and then while I was sitting there, somehow through the crowd, I saw the head of a girl with long, 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 I mean long, long, long waist length blonde hair. And I thought, whoo. I mean, honestly, I felt like I'd never seen anything like that. And right away, I thought to myself, I want to see if the front's as nice as the back. And sure enough, I mean, I wheedled my way at the end of the service after the invitation. And, you know, I felt like I needed to go between people and crawl somehow because the crowd was so great. But I finally made it up there without her noticing me. And I saw her and I looked at her face and it was not wow, it was double wow. And I thought, oh my goodness. And when I looked real close, on the right side of her head, there was a small curl. With all of that blonde hair, that small curl. And honestly, I thought, you know how foolish you can be, but I thought, that had to be an angel. And her face was absolutely beautiful. And in my heart, I suddenly was so thoroughly impressed that I knew I wanted to get to know her. Now, I will tell you this, just so that you can rest easy. She was the original refrigerator. That means she was a cold turkey. And that means that no matter what I said to her, she didn't say anything back. And it was not hard for her to look over me because she was taller than I. And I'm telling you what, I worked at it. I worked at it. And my dad said, what's wrong with you? I said, oh. He said, what? And I said, Dad, there's this girl at camp. And by the way, this same girl, she at the end of the camping season, I saw her in the same church where we were going. That was a large church. I mean, it was running about 800. And I saw this same girl, and I thought, oh, this is wonderful. And suddenly, church meant everything to me. And I mean, I just, but and for a long time, Pastor, I could not get her attention. And by the way, she was wise. And the time went by, and the day came, quite a long time later, the day came when she finally was nice enough to at least look at me and smile. And I was so thrilled when she smiled. I was so thrilled when I saw. And I remember the first time that she spoke to me. I was so thrilled. So thrilled when I saw. Thrilled when she smiled. Thrilled when she talked. I ought to be that thrilled with the presence of God. Are you listening? There is none like God. He is the answer to everything. My eternality has been changed. But that isn't all there is to it. His presence, he has now become host instead of guest. And the Spirit of God is the director. And the Savior is the Savior. And the Father being a part of the originator. And sometimes I'm overwhelmed. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I am tired. I'm weary, I'm worn. And I sing those words and say those words, and days come and days go, and some are good and some are not so good. And some days in my spirit I have a flat tire, and some days in my spirit I'm at the organ and playing, and the tone is beautiful, and I have sense enough to know that when you have one string, you don't have harmony. You have to have two strings to have harmony. And some days it's just a single string, and other days it's two strings, and I am affected spiritually and biblically and tenderly by the only one that makes all of the difference, whose name is Jesus. And therefore, I'm learning to listen carefully to whatever the Spirit of God says. I'm learning to walk carefully, very carefully, so that I don't misstep, and so that I don't get out of the middle of where I ought be. This is the way. Walk ye in it. And I want to stay right there in the center of the will of God. I don't want to get over here and slide down this side. I don't want to get over here and slide down this side. No. I want to walk in the place and in the way and toward whatever he is directing me to do. That's the longing and the desire of my heart. But it is not easy, because there are all kinds of things that are offered on the part of my flesh and offered on the part of the wicked one to trip me up and cause me to, at this age, pull some stupid stunt of some sort that would cause me to forfeit the rest of the ministry that God has in mind for me. And so I gotta be careful. And so when Paul lists those terrible things that we read, but then also lists a way by which there is victory, I need to understand that if I am occupied fully, hear me carefully now, if I'm occupied fully with the activities which are approved by the Holy Spirit, this will keep me from yielding to the enticements of the flesh. But I must be occupied fully. And that is my intention. And if you and if I are occupied with spiritual action, then we'll be preoccupied against a fleshly temptation. And so this matter of victory over the flesh and walking in the Spirit is only possible when I determine and successfully, not perfectly, walk in the Spirit. Because when you walk in the Spirit won't let you do a lot of things that you would otherwise do if you were not walking in the Spirit. Did you get that? And with this girl I was telling you about, when we got married, God gave me the one that I needed for life. She's a straight arrow. By the way, the Holy Spirit is a straight arrow. And she is so straight that when she went one time in a wedding party to Colorado Springs and they were having the wedding dinner prior to the next day when the wedding was to be performed, and when they were through with some of the activities and they were free and they were going to stay all night down there, they all got in some cars and started across town, and this girl that I married said to a friend of hers who was a part of the wedding party, who was her roommate and prayer captain at Bob Jones, and this girl that I married, she said, "Where are we going?" She said, "Oh, we're going to go see a movie." And this girl that I married said, "Uh-uh, not me." And she said, "Now, Alice." She said, "Not me. I'm not going." And they drove across town and stopped the car, and they got out and parked the car, and they started across the street to the theater. And my wife went to the left instead of in through the door. And in those days, there was a payphone on a post. And she called her dad. And I happened to be over there at the house. And she said to her dad, "This crowd is going to the movie and I'm not going." And my father-in-law said, "Well, do you want me to come and get you?" She said, "Yes." He looked at me and he said, "Would you go get her?" And I said, "Yes, sir." So I drove to Colorado Springs, 65 miles, and picked her up. And so the next day she went down and was a part of the wedding party and a part of the wedding. And when the wedding was over, this roommate, this prayer captain said, "Oh, so I guess you're going to go back and tell the school that we went to a movie." And my wife said, "No, I'm not going to do that." She said, "It's between you and God." And that, now hear me, and that prayer captain went astray later and turned out to be anything but a representative of the kingdom of heaven. But my wife kept the standard and kept the love of God in her heart and kept from going astray. And that's the girl that I married who's a straight arrow. Thank God for that. And that's never changed. So when Paul deals with the issues here, he's dealing with an intricate part of what really matters when it comes to the Christian life. Now, my dear friends, you better believe that. This that he's dealing with in this book, Galatians 5, is key when it comes to being successful as a child of God in your righteous lifestyle. It is. And so, with that being said, you have to come to the place in your thinking where you are awakened into the reality of the terrible conflict that we face. I mean, there's not a person in this room tonight, there's not a believer in this room tonight, not one who does not face this battle on a daily basis. But if you want to live in a great way for success, not perfectly, we are not perfectly until we get to glory, but we are expected to obey the Spirit of God on the basis of the truth of God, so that with our walk being what it is, we're a blessing to the neighbor. And we treat people right. And we're so pleased with the presence of the Spirit and His guidance that it's easy for us to sing the songs of the faith even when we don't sing very well. And so I want my whole being, my attitude, everything, I want it to be what it ought be. Now, verse 17. Look at verse 17. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would." Now, I would say, would you not, that that's rather clear? I mean, there's no question about what he is saying there, and there's no question about what he means. And this tremendous conflict, this very wonderful Spirit of God who is working in you and expects your spirit to agree with his spirit to ensure the victory that God intends to give you. And this that takes place within you has a deepening power that causes you to be thrilled even in the presence of trouble. Thrilled. And you You thank God that the conflict comes because the conflict is designed to test you and strengthen you as you get the victory and you become what you ought to be moment by moment, day by day, increment by increment. And you are so pleased with all of it that in this struggle, you recognize in each case about everything, the Holy Spirit bearing the truth of God in honoring the Savior and honoring the Father is doing what He can do as only He can do it to get you to walk straight. So He's walking like that and He's working like that and you're walking like that and you're allowing Him to work like that in such a manner that you wonder how it is that He can be so patient with you when you are such a rascal and trying to go astray. Amen. And so, with it being so, you're awakened to the fact that in this Christian liberty that you have. Verse 18. But if ye be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And so you remember your Christian liberty, not your looseness. No. And you see you're not condemned for the evil impulses which would lead you to do evil, but only for allowing those things to control your will and to be seen in your action. You can do this. You can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you dead sure can keep that bird from building a nest in your hair. And so you watch closely tendencies and looseness that would take you astray. And you reject them. And you resist them. And your dependence upon the Spirit of God. And you're thrilled with His presence. And the presence of the flesh has no way to defeat you as long as you give Him, the Holy One, the way in your life. And the victory is made possible each day. And it's made more possible if you realize the consequences of victory by the flesh. Pastor, I have friends that I've known for years and years and years. In fact, there's a fellow right now and his wife who live out at the edge of Denver that I taught in Silver State Baptist School. And he had tremendous ability. He was a musician. And he was just a really good guy. And he was my song leader in a couple's class that I taught. And we had such wonderful fellowship. And there were such great victories. And we had young couples come and young couples get saved and had the privilege of ministering to them and discipling them so that they could become equipped and grow and go on for the glory of God. And he started watching at night his television. And it wasn't I Love Lucy. It was bordering pornography and later became pornography. And it ruined his life. And he ended up divorcing the girl that had been in school with him in Silver State, a wonderful girl. And he divorced her because he was not satisfied with her. And he wasn't satisfied with her because he had stepped into the cauldron of completely devilish flesh. And he called me, and he's weeping, and he wants my help. How am I going to help him? We visited and visited and talked and talked, and he came and visited the church where I'm on the staff, and all of the effort that I put forth with him didn't make a dent in him. And he finally wouldn't listen anymore and was completely engrossed in the flesh. When you live in the flesh, the consequences become so terribly gigantic that they're like a saltwater crocodile. I'm in Australia and I'm preaching in a school, and there's a missionary there, and we were talking, and we were talking about the Aborigines, and then we were talking about others, believers and Christians and so forth. And he told me this story. He said a young fella in his middle 20s went out to the edge of the water, the ocean, and they pitched a tent. His mother and a little baby, his own, that they had with them, and they went to sleep one night, and during the night a saltwater crocodile came out of the water and came and grabbed the baby and started away, and the grandmother jumped up, the mother jumped up, and she stuck her thumbs in the eyes of the croc, and that made him drop the baby, and fortunately it saved the life of the baby. And I said to my friend, the missionary, I said, "Boy, that is ugly." He said, "Listen, you can't imagine how many people die every year because they get close to the water during the time when the saltwater crocs are around this island." I thought, oh my. And then in a reserve, an animal reserve, I looked at a black crocodile inside a fence, and I said to the missionary, I said, what about this? He said, "Oh, that's a killer." He said, "That croc killed three men who were mowers with lawnmowers before they finally put the croc behind a fence and wouldn't let anybody get close." Did you know that your flesh, my flesh, is just like a saltwater crocodile, and it never gets enough. Never. And one bite means another. And your submission to anything that is fleshly will turn out to be something that grabs you by the throat and puts you in a stranglehold. And therefore, Paul, in dealing with this, he cautions the people in Galatia as they read this letter that he wrote. And the victory over all of this is always found in the Holy Spirit. So the evidence is glaring, my friend, when you walk in the Spirit. But so is the evidence glaring when you don't walk in the Spirit. Have you ever wondered why some Christians lose their temper and they shoot their mouth off in such an ungainly way, and you say, wow, how could he ever do that? He could do that because he's not guarding against the flesh, and he's allowing the flesh to take little nibbles here and there and ends up getting him and causing him to be defeated instead of being victorious. So the answer always, and the answer is every day, walking in the Spirit. Your music, your reading material, your action, your desire, what you call pleasurable. If there is to be success, there is to be a restriction that God has set for you. That's the reason for separation. It's a protection. And if you pay attention to it, it keeps you from making a hazardous mistake in your life. If you look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And then he names all of them. We'll not read them again. But he names all of them. And all this, every bit of this that you read, is devoid of love. It is not there. There's no love there. And the flesh is active and energetic in the heart of every Christian. And except you walk by the Spirit and in the Spirit, any of these may be seen in the life of a Christian. And that's why sometimes some Christians do some things that you look at and you didn't do them and you probably wouldn't do them, but you see them do them and you'll say, how could he do that being a Christian? Well, he can do that because when you allow any convenience at all to the flesh, you are going to be the loser in time. And sometimes the time that you spend and go into the depths of immorality, there's no recovery from it. So when Paul deals with all of this, he finally ends up in the chapter and in the passage by listing the Christian virtues. And first of all, he lists love, joy, and peace. And by God alone, these can be maintained. Only God. And these are not human attainments or qualities. This fruit is one put together. And love is of God, and we joy or rejoice in the Lord, and the peace of God keeps our hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus. So the first group that he lists is love, joy, peace. And then the second group that he lists is long-suffering and gentleness and goodness. Now, I find this most interesting. As I was studying the passage and thinking about it, I find this most interesting. When he deals with love, joy, and peace, that is in a particular way by which it's of God. It's of God. That is not your responsibility except to surrender, to grow in grace. And then God develops love, joy, and peace in you. But the next group that he lists, that's toward people. And there's no law against goodness. The law is against unrighteousness. And therefore you by the power of the Lord and by the Holy Spirit, and this fruit of the Spirit is produced, and so now you can experience victory over the flesh that's secured only by regarding the flesh as having been once for all renounced. Now that's not permanent, because that has to take place all the time. And when you get up in the morning, you have to knowingly, determinedly, you have to grab flesh symbolically, but really, even though it can't be seen, and you must grab flesh by the throat and mash flesh to the floor and put your foot on the chest of flesh and say, by the grace of God, in the name of Jesus, stay there today! And you are so dynamic about it that you don't dare relent. You keep that spirit. And anything that speaks of the flesh, you say, no! No! I won't do it! I won't have anything to do with it! I won't sing that song! I won't walk that way! No! And when you're that determined, and God is so pleased, then He takes your life and He makes it a tremendously successful, victorious example of a believer that God expects you to be. Huh? And so I for a long time after I was saved, I wish I had seen this. I really didn't see it. And when I thought about the word walk in the Spirit. That word walk here in this passage is different from the first mention of a day-by-day walk. This is a journey pressing toward a goal. I'm on a trail walking for the glory of God. And I want to do all I can to end up in the right place. And I don't want anybody to be able to say, well, he talks one way and lives another. And you and I both know, do you not? You and I both know that there are all kinds of believers that talk one way and live another. And so, here am I. I am determined. I've made up my mind. I'll serve the Lord. I've left the pleasures of the world behind, and I'll trust the Lord. And in so doing, I must develop a spirit in my whole being that won't allow anything to lead me astray. I have friends that I've known for years that have gone astray. They tamper with the Scripture. They abuse the truth of God and call themselves great Christians. And I want to be careful that in my thinking, I'm not loose at all. Did you hear me? At all. What does at all mean? It means at all. So that my whole being as a child of God, it is the kind of being that is clean and pure. I'm not talking about perfection, but I am talking about intention. And it's the kind of thing as I walk and live and sing and look and preach and pray and sleep and eat, that there is a line of purity, preciousness about the truth of God and about the person of God. And my very best friend is my Savior. And that includes His Father and His Spirit and His Word. So that for Jesus' sake, I want to be clean. I want inside here, this heart of mine, I want to be sure that I do keep short sin accounts in such a manner that when I go somewhere and I speak, there is no hindrance to the power of God. I must not live my life in such a way that there is a hindrance to the power of God. And why is that so important? Because in each of your lives, you are precious in His sight. And if I consider the fact that you are precious in His sight, then I'm going to do all I can to help you, to be a blessing to you in every single sense of the day and the word and anything that comes up. I want to be sure that I'm not some kind of a hindrance, but I am some kind of a blessing. Amen. As you and I close tonight, we have come to a place where we have gotten to the place where we make the unimportant important, and we make the important unimportant. All across this country, that's true tonight. And so when you and I relate to each other, I'll be glad to shake your hand as a saint. And I want to be sure that when I shake your hand as a saint, that I'm a saint when I shake your hand that's not a phony. Huh? Pastor, will you come?